Good morning, everyone. It's great to be together, isn't it? I'm pleased to say that a number of the contributions this morning are going to feed into what we're going to be looking at. But I was intrigued by one of the songs we sang. I didn't really know it very well. And any ex-vagabonds in the house? I wouldn't have used that language of myself, but I was a vagabond. I was certainly lost in life at one point. You know, as I was praying about us as a church during the week, praying for us, I felt a little stirring that God was saying that he's up to something. God's up to something amongst us. And that just excites me, you know. I don't think it's an accident that Barkham and us have merged. That's something very physical that's happened out of our control, not expecting it to happen, but I think that's a little sign that God's up to something. He's preparing us for something. So just have that in mind. We're considering prayer this morning as part of our series in Colossians. And Paul wrote this very personal letter to this young church in Colossae, present-day Turkey, and he wrote them because they were being exposed to dangerous teaching that was causing compromise to the faith or could cause compromise to their faith. This letter would have been read out to the church, and they would have heard that, but Paul's motive behind that was to encourage them to grow and to mature in their faith. So this letter is very relevant to us today. As followers of Jesus, we can come under pressure and compromise from the teaching of the Bible. I'm so grateful for Rich over the last 2 weeks. He's taught us really well on some really difficult subjects of family and slavery. I'm just glad he didn't give me those topics to talk about. If you didn't hear last week's message, then I'd encourage you to listen to it on online. It was a great one. You know, if we compromise on the message of it all being about Jesus, our love for Jesus will grow cold. So don't let us lose that focus upon Jesus by adding in things of no importance and ignoring things that we should attend to. So this letter, as I've always said, in this portion of the letter, reminds us of the importance of prayer. If you're new to following Jesus, then prayer is key for you to grasp and learn how to do. If you're not a follower of Jesus yet, you're exploring, or you're just curious, then I want to suggest to you that you could well have prayed already in your life, even if you didn't know who you were praying to. When I was a young man, I had a motorbike. It was an embarrassment of a motorbike. I think it was only a motorbike for insurance purposes. It wasn't flash at all. But one night when I was coming home after a shift, this car went straight in front of me, and I was heading straight for this car. And I couldn't avoid it. I couldn't stop in time. Time slowed down. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where everything slows down. And I cried out, "Help, Lord." And that was a prayer. Many of us pray and don't even realize it. All of us in this room, I want you to see from the Bible that prayer is important and that prayer changes things. And that is what I have called this message this morning. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes situations and people. Prayer changes us. So let's read this passage from Colossians. It's Colossians chapter 4 and from verse 2. And it says this: "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." And then I want us to read Matthew chapter 6 and from verse 9. And this is a prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Prayer for the Christian, prayer for the follower of Jesus is simply talking with Jesus. We get to know him through this two-way conversation called prayer. There's no real growing in our relationship with God unless there is conversation. There are times when it seems that God is silent, that things are perhaps on pause, but those times do come and go. So I want to concentrate this morning on verse 2 from what we've read, and I have four B's for you. They are not the buzzing type, but they are four B's. And the first one is to be devoted. Be devoted to prayer, or devote yourself to prayer, or give passionate attention to prayer. So Paul is saying here, yes, you are a young and a praying church, which he was addressing this initially to. You're fantastic in this, but continue in that. Be steadfast in it. Be devoted to prayer. Keep on going in your prayer life. Don't give up. Don't drift. Don't compromise on prayer. Now, every follower of Jesus I've ever spoken to about prayer has never admitted that they pray too much or for too long, or that their praying has interfered with their cooking or their hobby. There is a desire within all Christians to pray in some way and to pray more. It's been said, hasn't it, that no one at the end of their life would ever say that I wished I'd spent more time in the office. They wish they would have spent more time with their family or whatever. Same with us for prayer. Inside of us as followers of Jesus is the desire to pray. It is part of our DNA, our new life. But herein lies a problem. It is so often that we never get round to it somehow. And when we don't achieve it, then that causes us to feel guilty, we become despondent, we feel a failure. You fall asleep trying to pray. You try harder, and it seems just beyond us. It seems hard work at times. Preachers in the past, I'm sure, have made you feel guilty about your prayer life. To make you feel guilty is not my intention this morning, because guilt is never a great motivator. It's a very poor motivator. Guilt is never the right motivation as followers of Jesus. It's always love. It's easy to feel that I could do better at prayer. I must try harder. But you know, Father God is not like a school teacher looking over our shoulder and saying, you could do better. Come on, try harder. No, he delights in every attempt we make. Every prayer we say is welcomed and loved and heard. Now, we don't earn the equivalent of nectar points or Tesco rewards when we pray. We don't notch up in heaven some heavenly reward for praying. But if prayer really does change things, if prayer brings in God's kingdom, if it really does work, then there must be forces that are against us in that, including our own flesh. Or at least making us think it's not important, or it's not worth the effort, or we're no good at it, or we're too busy, that it doesn't really change anything. Paul, actually, later in this chapter, acknowledges that it's not easy. Down in verse 12, he talks about Epaphras struggling in prayer for the church. But I want to suggest to you this morning that the practice of prayer can be hard, but it can be learnt. It's not about trying harder, it's actually about training ourselves. In Luke 11, Jesus said, now we've got recorded for us. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And in response to this, Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer, which I read earlier to you. So the act of prayer, the practice of prayer, the discipline of prayer can be learnt. you all can learn how to pray. Therefore, this means that whatever your prayer life is like at the moment, you can learn to have a better prayer life. You can learn to pray differently, more often or deeply or whatever. If prayer cannot be learnt, now I think Jesus would have said that to his disciples. So prayer is not somehow magically imparted to us. We learn how to pray. It might well be hard, but it will be satisfying for us. A satisfying prayer life doesn't necessarily mean it's long prayers, and it definitely doesn't mean that it's boring prayers, but a wonderful assurance and knowledge that Father God has heard our conversation. Maybe you think that there will be a time in your life when you're not quite so busy and then you can pray. I tell you, that is absolute nonsense. You can learn to pray whatever stage in your life, whatever is going on. Whether you're a busy mum, a sleep-deprived parent, a teenager with challenges, or you've got some work issue going on, or a serious illness, or you're under time pressure, whatever, you can learn how to pray. You can find that place of solitude and silence and how to pray. Shut the door, Jesus said, and pray. It's not necessarily a physical door, but find that secret place. Connect with me, Jesus was saying, in that special place. In Revelation 3, there's a lovely picture. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. So prayer is an invitation. Jesus is inviting us to that. In Middle Eastern culture, to have someone share a meal with you is an absolute sign of friendship. He's saying, you are my friend. You are eating with me. You are close to me. This is where we can laugh. This is where we can cry together. This is where we can be close. That's the picture for us. Let's consider this prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. I learnt this prayer at school, you know, the Lord's Prayer, way back in the last century, of course, when there had to be an act of Christian worship in the assembly. And we all learnt it off by heart in this sort of monotone flow of it. And it became monotonous and meaningless, far from how Jesus intended that prayer to be said. Now, in some churches, this prayer will be said and sung every Sunday at every gathering in church. In this church, if you're looking and visiting, you would have noticed that we haven't said this prayer this morning, apart from me reading out, of course. Not yet, anyway. We normally pray prayers that are not prepared, that are perhaps more spontaneous, prayers that come from the heart, that are hopefully Spirit-inspired, more spontaneous. But I want to suggest to you that using this prayer and written prayers from the Bible will enrich and help you to learn how to pray. Paul wrote a number of prayers in his letters. These were written down and thought out prayers. They were measured. They were not spontaneous. But nonetheless, they were prayers from the heart. And those sort of prayers can help us. In fact, using part of that verse that we read today, we can turn that into a prayer. Verse 4 from what we said. I want to be wise, Lord, in the way I act towards outsiders. Help me make the most of every opportunity. Let my conversation be always full of grace. Let me not be grumpy all the time with people. Let me have seasoned salt in my speech so that I can know how to answer everyone. You can turn scripture into prayer for us. Now, I'm not saying that we should start saying the Lord's Prayer every Sunday, each week, in public. We don't want to get into meaningless repetition. That's called religion. But I want to encourage you to use the Bible prayers on occasions. They will help you. They often give you language to those things on your heart. That psalm that Colin read out to us, you could turn that psalm into a fantastic prayer for yourself. They really do help us in these things. Let me give you another example. Ephesians chapter 3. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner man. So much of Scripture can help us in our praying. It's really about let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, there are some fantastic prayers from Christian tradition, from the past, from the New Testament, especially hundreds of prayers in the Psalms that we can use that will help stimulate and encourage us to pray. So let's don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I thought I must look up what that idiom means. And it means a number of things, but I thought this one was interesting. It's thought to have originated in 16th century England when people bathed infrequently and often shared the same bathwater. People usually bathed once a year in May after the long winter. So have you had your May bath yet? I hope you have. The water had to be carried to the home. Then the mother would have to boil it, and that would take hours. Then she would fill the biggest barrel, beer barrel that they had. This is so sexist. You notice the woman's doing all the work. The father would bathe first, even more sexist. Then the grown-up men, and then the women, and then the children in age order. And when the baby's turn came, the water was black with the dirt of accumulated, which had accumulated over the winter from the rest of the family. It's a gross picture, isn't it? If someone were to accidentally throw the baby out with the bathwater, they would have lost a valuable life along with the dirty water. Take what you will from that. But you get the idea. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't discount the use of prayers that are crafted and written for us in Scripture and by others. If they express what's on our heart and help us to pray, then do use them. The Lord's Prayer actually is an amazing model of prayer. You can pray it really slowly, and that can help you. You can use it as a model. So, for example, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What a wonderful way to come to God, to approach God. My Father in heaven, hallowed, holy is your name. Your kingdom come is a prayer, isn't it, for justice, for oppression to be lifted, for poverty to cease, for abuse to end. Give us this day our daily bread. It's recognizing that God gives us our daily needs. Forgive us our sin, our wrong actions, our wounding of others, as we forgive those that do that to us. Firstly, then, let us become devoted to prayer. Practice praying and continue to learn how to pray. There's more to learn. Make it a lifelong adventure and a journey of talking to your Heavenly Father. Be devoted to prayer, making those prayers real and from your heart. So secondly, be watchful. This is the second B. This means for us to watch, to be alert, to be on our guard, to be vigilant, to be awake. Being watchful is being in touch with what is happening. We easily do that, don't we, through the media, keeping in touch with what is happening in world events, local events. But be in touch with what's happening down your street, with your neighbours, in your town, nationally and internationally. Be informed helps us to be watchful. And Paul is saying here, be watchful. Also being watchful is seeing and discerning, understanding what is happening in the spirit realm. The Holy Spirit can show us particular things to pray for, giving us insight, giving us wisdom and thinking and knowledge of how to pray. On the 3rd of July, we as a church met and to pray for the election. And I was particularly blessed because Al encouraged us to all share how we were praying for the election. And that really encouraged me to see and understand the different insights that all of us had in that room of how to pray. Being watchful is key in our prayer life. Being watchful can also have the meaning of checking out how we're actually praying, the content of our prayers. Have you analysed the content of your prayers at all? If I do that, so often my prayers are very me-focused. You know, Lord, help me to have a good day. Help me to meet some nice people at work and help me get through it. Our prayers can be so totally selfish and self-absorbed in our tiny little world. The Lord's Prayer is not a me-focused prayer. It includes things for ourselves, but it's not me-focused. So it's a great model for us. A simple way to avoid being very me-centered in prayer, I think, is to have some sort of a loose prayer plan. For example, you know, on a Monday, pray for your family and your friends and your neighbours. On a Tuesday, pray for response to the gospel in Lewis and East Sussex and around the world and whatever. On Wednesday, pray for the poor, for prisoners, for those sick, for injustices. Thursday, pray for local government, national government, whatever. Make some sort of a prayer plan that is maybe balanced. It's not all about me and my little world. Ask the Holy Spirit to show those things that you need to particularly pray for, and tweak the prayer plan, if you like, so that you're not becoming rote with it. You're not doing the same thing. It's not boring. It's not repetitive in a negative way, because prayer changes things. So if prayer really does change things, then let's be praying for much more than ourselves and our own needs. I've got a slide. If you can show this slide, you might want to just take a photo of that. That's fine. It's on the email from this week. That this is a number of organisations that will help you. Be watchful. They give you various different things to pray for. Our own network of churches, Catalyst, gives you loads of stuff to pray for. Jubilee Plus work amongst the poor, and we're linked with Jubilee Plus, and they give you loads of stuff. Joshua Project, Open Doors, they work amongst persecuted Christians. Tear Fund works amongst the poor through churches. Evangelical Alliance and the Christian Institute will give you information about what's current in politics and what's going through the law systems in our land and many ethical issues that we can pray into. So there's great resources out there. And if you don't do it online, you can connect with these people, these different groups, these charities through mail as well, snail mail. So use the resources that are available to stimulate your prayer life, help your prayer life. So thirdly, Paul says, be thankful. Be thankful. Remembering to be thankful is important, the attitude of gratitude. You know, when prayers are answered or when we're waiting for the answer, let's still be thankful. Part of being thankful is telling your story, and thank you for those stories that were shared this morning. Giving testimony about answer to prayer is a great way in your connect group is a great way to do that. Being thankful gives great encouragement to us all in our prayer life. Jesus one day was in a village and 10 lepers came up to him and he healed them. Leprosy in that day, well, it meant that you were an outcast. You couldn't live with your family. You were locked out of your family, your village. And Jesus healed each of them. And he told them to go to the priest to prove that they were healed, and then they returned their communities. One came back to thank Jesus. One came. It's so important that we thank Jesus for those answered prayers. Now, I want to do a bit of a straw poll this morning. So I'm going to ask you to stand in a minute if you've had an answer to prayer in the last few weeks, say the last month or something, as an act of thankfulness to God, okay? But I also want to demonstrate the power of answered prayer as well. So if you've prayed and it's been a work situation, a family challenge, anything you didn't see progress in, a challenging relationship, a situation that you needed to be changed, or you were healed physically, or you know that you've been healed emotionally in some way, I'd like you to stand. I'd like you to stand now just to demonstrate this as an act of thankfulness to God for something that you have prayed for and has been answered in the last month. I'm sure a lot of you sitting down there have just gone blank with your memory, haven't you? And there would be a number more. But look around. These people have had answers to prayer. Some of them will be small and some of them will be hugely significant. Now, I want us to clap, but I want you not to clap them, but to thank God for answered prayer, because prayer changes things. So let's thank God for these, the answers to prayer. Come on. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, you clapped longer than I was expecting. Well done. So be thankful. Take your seats again. Be thankful. So Paul says, be devoted, be watchful, be thankful, be grateful for these things. And let's learn to practice these things regularly. But fourthly then, be Jesus-focused in our praying. Paul asked for this church to pray for him, very specifically. Paul was in prison. He could have asked the obvious prayer request, get me out of here, get me out of this mess, get me out of this confinement. Instead, Paul wanted prayer for God to open the door for the message, for the words to go out, for the good news of Jesus to spread through that area with clarity, with wisdom. Lord, open the door for me to speak kindly, graciously, with seasoned, tasty words to people, giving spirit-led answers. That's the essence of this prayer, even in those chains. So even in the confinement, Paul was Jesus-focused. He was kingdom-focused. Sharing our faith starts with prayer. Not being limited by the constraints, the prison that we may feel that we are in. The prison of our culture, the prison of the anti-God climate that we live in. With what others might think about us. Let's pray that we would be out of that prison. Sharing our faith begins in our personal prayer lives and times of corporate prayer when the elders call us to pray together for God to open doors, for God to move in mighty power, to see his kingdom come. Jesus said, didn't he, the harvest fields are white. Pray for laborers. As a church, we have some open doors. We heard of one today, didn't we? Acts 4:35. But there's King's Tot, Food Bank, Community Cafe, the Christmas Community Choir, Lunchbox, that quirky Skittles competition that we go into every year, the Art Pad, Knitting Group, TLG Mentoring, Youth Group. There's so many open doors that we have as a church. So let's be Jesus-focused in praying for those open doors and for more open doors. For more open doors. Finally, then, I want us to. I was thinking about Dr. Michael Mosley, you know, the broadcaster that sadly died recently. His catchphrase was just one thing, and it was about health. I don't know whether you saw his program. Did you see his program? It was things like stand on one leg when you're brushing your teeth and sort of things like that are going to help your health. So I want to take up this idea of just one thing and challenge you to do just one thing that will help you deepen in your prayer life. That won't be standing on one leg with your toothbrush, but I just want you to consider one thing for your prayer life. If you're visiting us and you're seeking spiritual reality, then why not pray something like this? Jesus, if you are real, will you answer this prayer and show yourself to me? Jesus, if you're real, will you show yourself to me? If you're a new follower of Jesus, then your just one thing might be something like starting to pray first thing in the morning over that first cup of coffee. You'll need to get up a few minutes earlier, but they'll be worth it. But the just one thing could be that new adventure for you to begin of prayer. Use the Lord's Prayer if you don't know what to say. Grow in your conversation with God. If you've followed Jesus for a while, then why not add a rhythm of prayer into your day? You're not too busy to do this. So morning and last thing at night, or several times in the day, turn aside and pray. These don't have to be long, intense intercession times, but an internal, intentional turning of our hearts to Jesus and focus a conversation with him. Because it's all about Jesus. That's what Colossians is telling us. You might want to set an alarm, a buzzer on your phone, whatever works for you. Maybe the just one thing for you is thankfulness, or beginning to fast, or setting up a weekly prayer plan, or begin to pray for world situations, or being watchful in the spirit, develop a rhythm of prayer using a structure, whatever it may be. There's lots of things I've thrown out there for you, or starting a prayer diary. You know, what human father would not delight in his young child who's learning to talk, babbling away, talking to him? He would look forward to it, encouraging his attempts to speak to him, welcome him, cherish it. He would be heard by his father. Father God delights in our prayers, however weak and feeble you may think they are, however short you think they are, but Father God delights in your prayers, especially your honest ones. What I want you to take away from this morning is that you can learn how to pray and be devoted to prayer. You can learn how to connect with Jesus numerous times in the day, moving towards your life being a prayer, you being a house of prayer. That is within your reach, my friends, this morning. Remember, just one thing is achievable. It might be hard work, but train yourself. You see, it's not about trying harder in prayer. It's about training ourselves. And Jesus will not condemn you for your efforts. He will be delighted in them. So I want to throw out this challenge. Just one thing for just 1 month, and you will have trained yourself in a new habit that is achievable. Prayer changes things, so let's be devoted to prayer. Amen. Can the worship team come back to us? I want us to, let's stand if you're able to. And I'd just like you to ask you all to respond this morning in whatever way is appropriate for you to respond. So let's close our eyes. Let's not be conscious of other people around. There might be a bit of movement in the room. Let's not be conscious of that. Let's just close our eyes and focus upon Jesus. Just as you were when you were worshiping earlier, connect with Jesus. And just practice listening to his voice now. What's the just one thing that you need to move into this week? Just one thing that's not going to be a heavy burden, but it's going to take you deeper in your prayer life. Our prayer team are available this morning, and they'll be coming forward just as we sing our last song. But I've just got a number of things on my heart, and if you feel that you have a difficulty in hearing from God, then I think God wants to just help you in that this morning, just release you in that this morning. If you'd like to come forward for prayer, if you feel that it's very hard to hear his voice, and let someone pray with you, you'll be released from that. I also felt there's someone here with compromise in their heart, maybe just a little compromise, but little compromises tend to grow. And you're just aware of a compromise that you've made in your faith. And there's no condemnation in that at all. Just come forward and get that right with Jesus this morning. And for some of you, I think you need the gift of heavenly language, that prayer language that is beyond our thinking. And if you would like that gift, and I think God wants to give that this morning, so you come forward as well. And of course, as always, if you have a healing need, then we'd love to pray with you for that healing need. So I'd ask you to respond after we've sung this song, if any of those things are relevant for you. You know, prayer moves heaven on our behalf. Prayer changes things. Thank you, Jesus, for this challenge this morning. Help us to be devoted in prayer. Help us to be watchful and thankful. For Jesus' sake. Amen. So we're going to sing Our Father. And let's get lost in worship of Our Father this morning as we close our time together. Thank you.